Scheib came up to him, with the good-looking major hanging a step behind him. "How are the ribs, Harry?"
"They're fine," Harry fibbed. His back still ached, still twinged when he moved too quickly.
"Good," said the general. "Good." And he moved past Harry and Sylvia without introducing the major, who dutifully followed after him. The waitress arrived with Harry's club soda in a tall glass tinkling with ice cubes. He began to feel edgy. He didn't really know anybody in this crowd except for Levy, and Jake was all the way over on the other side of the big room now, by the picture window, deep in conversation with a couple of older men who looked to Harry like bankers or maybe members of Anson's board of directors. White-haired and balding, big in the middle, flabby in the face.
"Mr. Anson's coming this way," Sylvia hissed urgently.
Harry saw Anson making his way slowly through the crowd, stopping to talk to this one or that for a moment, then moving closer to where he and Sylvia stood. There was something strange about his lean face with its high cheekbones and shaved scalp. His skin looked waxy, slick, like the skin grafts they give to burn victims. Still, he looked stylish in his navy blue blazer and white slacks. Pencil slim, his face taut, his scalp shaved, his mustache trim and elegant.
"Where's his wife?" Sylvia whispered.
Harry shook his head. "I don't know." He wouldn't recognize her anyway. He'd never seen a picture of her.
"She's very big with the Opera Society," Sylvia said, still whispering as though she were passing on military secrets. "I told you we should get involved in the Opera Society."
Harry didn't remember that, but he didn't say anything. Anson was chatting amiably with the couple standing next to them, but he was glancing in Harry's direction. Sure enough, Anson disengaged from the other couple and turned to Harry and Sylvia. "You must be Mrs. Hartunian," he said, making it sound as if it was a compliment.
"Sylvia," Harry said.
"A pleasure." Anson took Sylvia's hand and bowed over it slightly, as if he were going to kiss it. Sylvia's face turned scarlet. Then Anson said, "Sylvia, do you mind if I borrow your husband for a few minutes? I have something important to discuss with Harry. In private."
Certainly, Sylvia stammered.
"Thank you, Sylvia," said Anson graciously. "I won't keep him long." Anson's inner sanctum. Harry felt mystified as Anson gripped him by the elbow and led him through the partygoers back toward the stairs. The crowd melted away before them, like Moses parting the Red Sea, Harry thought. "Can your ribs do the stairs, or should we take the elevator?" Anson asked. "I'm okay," Harry said, stretching the truth. "The stairs are fine." The staircase curved between walls lined with old, fading photographs. Family, Harry thought. People at the beach, people at formal dinners in tuxedos and evening gowns. A man who looked a lot like Victor Anson shaking hands with President Franklin D. Roosevelt, no less. Some of the pictures seemed to go back to the Roaring Twenties. The staircase ended in a single, open, airy solarium. All the walls were tinted windows from floor to ceiling. Harry squinted in the light streaming in despite the tinting. It was almost painful. A big old-fashioned desk of dark mahogany stood on one side of the room, an even bigger, heavy-legged pool table on the other. "My sanctum sanctorum," Anson said as Harry looked admiringly around the room, his eyes adjusting to the brightness. "I come up here to do my thinking. And my deciding." Harry couldn't think of anything to say. A pair of